Welcome to the 1CA podcast. This is your host, Jack Gaines. 1CA is a product of the Civil Affairs Association and brings in people who are current or former military, diplomats, development officers, and field agents to discuss their experiences on ground with the partner nation's people and leadership. Our goal is to inspire anyone interested in working the last 3 feet of foreign relations. To contact the show, email us at capodcasting@gmail.com or look us up on the Civil Affairs Association website at www.civilaffairsassoc.org. I'll have those in the show notes.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mariah Yeager, your host for today's SMA speaker session titled On Persuasion. We have Bas Wouters, who is co-founder and CEO of the Cialdini Institute. He's the author of Online Influence, which is combining Dr. Cialdini's work with insights from other behavioral experts, creating a highly practical framework to boost online results.
Please welcome Mariah Yeager and Bas Wouters to 1CA Podcast. Originally, I was co-hosting the show with Mariah, but I got OBE'd, or overcome by events, so Mariah covered until I arrived to help with questions and answers. This is part one of a two-part episode on influence and persuasion, so enjoy.
So after establishing the Cialdini Institute, companies like Disney, Bookings.com reached out to our speaker today. So he has extensive experience. We're happy to have him today. So with that, I'm going to turn the floor over to Mr. Wouters.
Thank you, Mariah, for this great introduction. Thank you all for joining and to dive deeper into the practical application of the science of persuasion. I'm representing the Cialdini Institute. I'm aware that a lot of you know the great work of Dr. Robert Cialdini, and he is my business partner in the Cialdini Institute. But I'd like to start with some things you may not know about Robert Cialdini. And one of the things what we are very proud of is this research in 2022. They established a jury of the top entrepreneurs in the world, which included Warren Buffett, Mark Cuban, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and they voted for the best business book of all time. And as you probably can guess, the winner was Influence from Dr. Robert Cialdini. And actually, they repeated this study with those top entrepreneurs. And in 2023, again, the winner was Influence from Dr. Cialdini. I understood from Jack and Mariah that most of you read his book, published in 1984. And Dr. Cialdini became a professor at the University of Arizona State. He started lecturing PhD students, but he also started to do research. And one thing that fascinated Dr. Cialdini is why people can influence so easily. I'll give you an example. One day at home, somebody rings the doorbell, he opens, he makes a nice chat, goes back inside, and then he realized, why do I suddenly have a new energy supplier? I didn't need that. I didn't ask for it. I said yes to the request. So that fascinated him. So he started looking into the research that was already done on influence, the science of persuasion. What he found, actually the first influence research was psychologists were wondering in the 1930s, when Hitler came to power, how can a man who is an advocate for such a totalitarian regime, how can he move complete societies in his direction? So Dr. Cialdini was looking at approximately 40 to 50 years of data on influence research. And then he realized something important. These are lab studies, but influence is done in the real world. So I need to go out there where it actually happens. So Dr. Cialdini went undercover and he infiltrated a lot of training programs. So training programs on sales, marketing, PR, but he also infiltrated army recruitment and even cults. And after 3 years, he collected his findings and connected that to the 50 years of research that already was out there. And then he wrote his book, Influence. And in that book, first he wrote the 6 principles of persuasion. And later in this new and expanded edition in 2021, he added a 7th principle. These 7 principles of persuasion, these are the universal principles of persuasion. Science shows us these principles work in every culture, in every language. in every country. There's also research on what is the most powerful principle per culture, but they all work in every culture. The thing is, what Dr. Cialdini wondered during his research is something different, because everybody told him, well, we are from marketing. That's completely different than PR. Well, I'm from PR. That's different than sales. Sales is different from advertising. So everybody told him how different everybody was. What he was looking for, what is the same? Which principles motivates in every case to move more people in your direction? Like I said, in 1984, he found six. And based on research, he added a seventh principle. So these principles are reciprocity. If I invite you to my birthday party, you feel a pressure to invite me back at your party. Liking. We like to say yes to our friends. To give you an example, if I walk here on the street and a complete stranger is moving houses and they say to me, well, boss, do you want to help me? Most likely, I would tell that stranger, I don't have time, or no, I don't want to help you. But if my best friend would ask me that same question, probably I say yes. The fourth principle is social proof. There's something interesting with social proof. In his first edition, it was referred to as consensus. Dr. Cialdini created the term social proof. What it states is, when we are uncertain, we look to other people to decide what we should do. Think, for example, about booking.com. Which hotel should we pick to stay? Well, 1,000 people tell me, this is a great hotel, so I book that hotel. The fifth principle is authority. We follow the advice of the experts. This is an interesting one, because how we base in our decision-making if somebody is an expert is very interesting. To give you an example, if I go to my general doctor, I just ask him questions about whatever health condition I have. But whoever checked the diplomas of that general doctor? Probably nobody did that. But based on his title, I already trust him that he has expertise about whatever complaint I will bring to him in my health situation. Then consistency. It's about, if we made a small commitment previously, we feel an internal pressure to act consistent with what we previously have said or done. Consistency is the most powerful internal driver to motivate into action. And that leads me to the seventh principle, and that's scarcity. Scarcity is the most powerful external driver that motivates us into action. And you can think, for example, about Black Friday. It started in the US, but now it's spread all over the world. And on Black Friday, everybody is moving into directions just because they assume they can get great deals. Then unity. This is the seventh principle that Dr. Cialdini introduced in his new and expanded edition of Influence. And it's about, do we belong to the same group? We are all football fans. We are all Americans. So the fact that you belong to the same group may increase the motivation to say yes to a certain request if that is raised to awareness. Those are the seven principles. What's important, these principles are based on science. Everything we do in the Cialdini research has three core values. One is science. The other one is application. So you cannot change your outcome just with theory. You have to be able to translate the theoretical research into practical application. So that's another very important component of us, which we will discuss into a systematic way of applying today. And the third is ethics. And ethics, it's about these powerful principles. You have to use them in an ethical way, because we talk not about manipulation. Influence is not manipulation. Ethical influence is not manipulation, because it's raising to awareness parts of information that are also helpful for people to make a decision, and therefore you create win-win outcomes. Because things are based on science, it can be taught. And if something can be taught, it can be learned. There are a lot of people out there who have a natural gift to be persuasive. They often end up in marketing, sales, or leadership positions because they have this natural ability to persuade. We know one thing for sure. People who master the science that don't have the natural ability to persuade are more powerful persuaders than people who have the natural ability to persuade. Can you imagine if you have both? One, you have a natural skill to be persuasive, plus you master the science. And why this is also important, I trained a lot of people all over the world, and especially in sales and marketing. After a training, people told me, now I can actually explain what I was doing. They were successful, but they could not teach it. It's just what comes up to me natural. Then it's not transferable. So because it's science, it can be taught, and therefore it can be learned by everybody. And today we want to dive into the application. Dr. Neidert has been a right-hand man to Dr. Cialdini for the last 25 years. He is also a professor at ASU University, and he consulted the Fortune 100 companies, but also a lot of government agencies, including intelligence. And every time when he did such a consulting, he selected a principle that was most suitable for that case. And people asked him, of course, Dr. Neidert, why you've chosen reciprocity, or why you've chosen scarcity to overcome our influence challenges. And this answer could not be that just because I do. Everything is science and research based. So he developed the core modus model so we can teach you how to select the best principle in every given situation. Let me start by introducing the first core modus model. In an influence challenge, the relationship we have with a person is very important. To give you an example, let's say I'm in a very important meeting and my phone rings and I look at my phone and I see somebody that I don't speak so often. What would I probably do? I wouldn't pick up my phone. But imagine the same situation. I'm in that very important meeting, and my spouse or your partner or friend that knows you are in that important meeting calls you. Now probably what will happen is you will excuse yourself and try to pick up the phone to at least know why they are calling you, because you assume there's something urgent. You do this based on the relationship you have with that person. And if you go back to the 50s, one of the communication models that was introduced was the sender-receiver model, which says, when you send out a message with words and images, then you have the receiver. That receiver processes the information they get and makes it a message. Then you have the channel. Those channels are now extended in the online world. First you had face-to-face, then we had face-to-face and phone calls. And now you have face-to-face, video calls, phone calls, text messages, emails. Also, the channel is very interesting to look at, and which one is most persuasive in influence. Then back to the first core modus model. So as I shared with you, in the situation, do I pick up my phone during that important meeting? Yes or no? So in any given influence situation, we have to establish a relationship. Some questions that you can ask yourself, well, how can you recognize a signal that you have to work on your relationship? Do people pick up the phone, for example? Do they answer my text messages because you see those blue check marks in WhatsApp, for example, but they don't reply? You saw that they got it, they read it, but they don't reply. people don't paying attention when you are in a meeting. They are distracted. Look at their phone. These are all signals where you should recognize in the future, I need to work on my relation. And the three principles that most likely will do the job to cultivate a relationship or repair an existing relationship are reciprocity, liking, and unity. So what you see forming here is now we can recognize a signal why we might not reach our goals, why we get a no instead of a yes. It can only be one core motive and the whole machine is start spinning again. So relationship can be one of those gears we have to work on. It's not a 1-2-3 step model. It could be in a new influence challenge, but it could also be just fix the relationship of influence is start to moving in your direction. So the second core motive that I like to introduce is uncertainty. In every decision-making process, we get uncertain most of the time. To give you an example, let's assume you want to buy a new kitchen. You go into Google and you type in buy a new kitchen. And then bang, you right away have like a million hits. Unconscious, we get uncertain. Where do I click? What are signals? What could you recognize in other ways that people are uncertain? Well, if you communicate with them, they might just say it. I don't know what to do. Or I doubt that this is the best decision for me. These kinds of expressions will help you recognize that people are still uncertain. Is another thing people do, they start improving your offer. A lot of times we think, oh, but I am the expert, why they don't listen to me? It's because they are uncertain. Those people don't want to act annoying, they don't want to bother you, but they express uncertainty. And you should think, I should move into the principles of social proof and authority. Social proof and authority are the most likely principles that will overcome uncertainty. If a person is uncertain, you raise to awareness what other people did in that same situation or what an expert says to do in that given situation. And then we reach the last gear for MODIS model, and that's motivation. You've probably all been there. You are influencing or persuading somebody, move them in your direction. You know you have a good relationship. That person says, yes, your offer is the right one for me, but they don't act. So we have to motivate them into action. These people are probably wondering two things. Why should I act now? Or what did I previously said or done that I will act on this request now? So consistency and scarcity are most likely to do the job to motivate people into action. What the NIDA's core motives model does and why it's a crucial foundation for me to become an expert in the science of influence is now we are able to analyze a situation, recognize certain signals. We can select the best principle to overcome that challenge, and we can generate ideas which most likely will have the most persuasive outcome. That leads me to another interesting model, which I like to introduce, how to generate those ideas. Most often when we want to generate ideas, we go into brainstorm sessions. And those brainstorm sessions, if you rationalize what actually happens, most of the time, especially in business organizations, people go into a room, they start talking to each other. Often they don't walk away with a solid action plan. They just talked a lot. But that isn't very productive. So to generate the best possible ideas, we developed the influence process. And actually, you can apply this process to any brainstorm question. There are four steps. One person does the initiation and just briefly say, we have this challenge and we need a solution. For that person who initiated the session, it's pretty clear what needs to happen. But by briefly addressing it, just with a few words or maybe two sentences, it's most of the time for 70, 80, or 90% clear for the other participants, which as we start generating ideas, people move into different directions. So what we recommend to do, one person explains what you're going to think about. What is the current situation? What do you hope to achieve? What is a good outcome? What did you already try? And what are your next ideas? So then you set the stage into a direction that everybody more clearly understand what are you going to talk about. And then something fun happens. When we start talking in these kinds of sessions, it's often a competition who has the loudest voice. We are all together in a room and you've all been there and only two or three people are continuously talking and the rest is pretty silent. That's not very productive because you don't get the best ideas in the room. You get the ideas from people with the loudest voice. You first need to do something else. You need to think. We often act on a question right away, pretty impulsive. But that doesn't mean that's the best idea you can come up with. We say, think 5 to 7 minutes. Really crack your brain. That's not 30 seconds thinking and 4.5 minutes staring out the window. Really think. And after people did that, again, we don't want to have the competition who has the loudest voice. We want to hear everybody's ideas. So you want to have all ideas on the table. That's why we recommend give people 2 to 3 minutes max per person so they share not all their ideas, but the best ideas to overcome the challenge.
We'll come back next week for the exciting conclusion to Bass Waters and Maria Yeager on influence and persuasion. Thanks for listening. If you get a chance, please like and subscribe and rate the show on your favorite podcast platform. Also, if you're interested in coming on the show or hosting an episode, email us at capodcasting@gmail.com. I'll have the email and CA Association website in the show notes. And now, most importantly, to those currently out in the field, working with a partner nation's people or leadership to forward U.S. relations, thank you all for what you're doing. This is Jack, your host. Stay tuned for more great episodes, 1CA Podcast.